In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. This morning, we begin Lent with an Episcopal tradition which is called the Great Litany. It was used as early as the 5th century in Rome, so that's how far back this tradition goes. The Great Litany is said to be the first prayer that was composed in English, in our language. And it was prepared by our wonderful Thomas Cranmer, and he published it in 1544. Cranmer modified an earlier litany form, consolidating certain groups of prayers and conditions into a single response. And Henry VIII was the one who commissioned this, to write the litany, because at the time the practice was for people to move out into the streets and move through procession in a public manner through the neighborhoods. And he was disappointed because people wouldn't really do this. They weren't responding and joining in the prayers. Well, they couldn't understand them. They were in Latin. So he accordingly decreed that the litany be written in English. The Great Litany includes an invocation of the Trinity, a series of petitions which seek deliverance from evil, spiritual harm, and natural calamities, a series of petitions which plead the power of Christ's incarnation, his life, death, and resurrection, for deliverance, and prayers of general intercession. It's really important for us to understand here in this place why we do what we do in our church tradition, and how it makes meaning in our services through the seasons of the year. Lent, as a penitential season, has us leaving behind our Alleluia. I think one year we actually buried them or physically put them away for Lent. And it invites us on this pilgrimage of sorts, and we are always invited to begin again. Like we do every morning, we begin again. So we are all invited to stand at the beginning of this season, the beginning of Lent, as Jesus did, facing the desert. And to be caught up in it our very selves. For us, it will be a metaphorical desert. For Lent is the season for the Spirit of Truth, who drove Jesus out into the wilderness and initiated in him the truth that sets free. And we hear in Mark this morning that this happened immediately, right after his baptism. So it's worth noting this profound contrast between the overwhelming visual experience of this divine illumination and affirmation with the Spirit descending on him like a dove. This is depicted a lot in art and photographs. And a voice saying from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Alongside Jesus being immediately thrust out into the desert. A consolation and love of affirmation is then followed by this desolation. And by this I mean a suffering through a profound challenge. Talk about a disorienting experience. In our gospel today, Mark uses a harsh word, and that word is drove. Jesus was driven into the wilderness. And this was the full force of God, and not just a positive force for Jesus, but a force that makes him enter into this testing ground of the wilderness. And enter he did into a conversation with the devil. However, this gospel gives us no indication or information as to the nature of the particular temptations. We hear them in the other synoptic gospels. Nor does Mark give us the particulars in the outcome. Yet there's no doubt about Satan's defeat. Can you imagine that kind of fear, the inertia that would hold each one of us back from facing a challenge like this? The Lord's Prayer informs us that Satan knows what he's up against as God's kingdom is at hand and attempts to dismantle God's intentions in an appeal for Jesus' ego. What we will encounter in upcoming weeks is Satan's failure in his attempts to do this very thing. And what we do know is that when Jesus was ministered to, by the angels in the desert, they took beautiful care of him. He was sent into the desert knowing himself as God's beloved son. His surrender in the desert was laying down his resistance to God's plan, and what a risk he was willing to take. There he faced suffering, silence, and vulnerability. If you look at verses 3 and 4 in our psalm today, this seems fitting for perhaps how Jesus might have prayed to his Father and made an appeal during this time of testing. It's a very fitting appeal to God, his Father. Show me your ways. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. And lead me into your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and in you I have trusted all the day long. Well, this testing leaves Jesus ready and equipped to come to Galilee and then proclaim the good news of the kingdom. How does this then speak to us in our anxious attempts to control our own lives, our belt-tightening resolutions for Lent, which we set up for ourselves? How about this? What if we were to give up control and self? What if we were to entertain a listening posture for the Holy Spirit who speaks to us in our lives, in our particularity, in very soft, silent ways, subtle ways? And do we know how to actually listen for the Spirit of truth? Truth, as Martin Smith explains, is an unhiddenness. Truth is not a noun, but a descriptor of what happens to us when these illusions are stripped away from us. The coverings which mask our attempts to hide our false selves, expressed in our inflated egos, our individualism, our tribal natures, and our prejudices. When we prayerfully discern where God wants us to go, where God wants us to be, and what God wants us to do, either us as persons in a parish or as individuals, we, like Jesus, experience moments of affirmation and illumination. Yes, this is what I or what we are meant to be doing. But can we also learn from his experience in the desert that such moments of affirmation and illusion are often followed by times of purgation? And when I say purgation, I mean by these times of challenge and testing. These times of testing, traditionally that follow experiences of divine affirmation, were understood not as a punishment by God, but as invitations to spiritual cleansing and shedding, as best we can, all that keeps us from being open to the presence of the Holy Spirit, ridding ourselves of all that gets in the way of our awareness of God. This is very countercultural in our modern age. At this moment in time, many are going through difficult times and challenges caused by many things. These can be emotional, physical, relational, economic, and many other factors. But today's gospel reminds us that going through uncertain times, these are actually times of invitations to us personally and also collectively as a community of faith to be on guard against the ever-present and divisive forces of evil that stand ready, often in subtle and persuasive ways, to undermine our faith in the presence of the risen Christ. So as we go through these times of challenge, we are tempted to weaken our commitment to our common vocation, which is to manifest Christ in our lives today. For like Jesus in the desert, we are not alone and abandoned. There are angels who minister to us in our time of need, and the Spirit of the risen Lord is indwelling in this parish and through each person. Thanks be to God for that. Spirit of truth, you know us intimately. You know our barriers to consent to your directives in our lives. Give each of us perseverance and your presence through these days of Lent, breaking down the barriers of resistance in order to reflect your intention and love in our lives.